Bolts versus Novak. Bolts versus Novak.
Please support. My name is Michael Barker. I'm just a member of the Metropolitan Council. Manisha is one of these boys for me, so you changed your schedule for me. I appreciate it. The first issue in the case is whether the age and location of parties might permit material change in circumstances. With tropical held the tropical changes the location schedule based on the age and location of the parties. When asked why the request might change, what the plaintiff testified to is that the child is in school now, and she anticipates problems with visitation in the future. At the time of the decree, the child was four, and the modification was filed about 6 months later, and the child was six at the time of the modification hearing. The testimony in the case regarding the school and the age of the child is kind of set forth in reply brief. Basically, what the evidence consists of is, let's kind of read through it real quick. So, how long has the child been in St. Cecilia's? The answer was 2 years. Did he have any issues in the first year? The answer was no. In the first year, did Royal do all right? Yes. Had there been any issues regarding transportation or airing time? Yes. What are those issues? Him not taking one to school on Monday? Have those issues since been resolved? The answer was yes. Has he agreed since May to take him to school? Yes. Does Royal have any problems in school that you're aware of? No. Are there any issues with regards to Royal's school that require immediate or further discussions? And the answer was not that I believe. And that's kind of the entire record with regards to with regards to school, other than the local parties kind of reports the child was doing well in school. With regards to the location, the plaintiff has moved, I think, 3 or 4 times. The defendant moved once less than a mile. We still live in the same metropolitan area, an equal distance apart as this at our time in Korea. There was no evidence in regards to the location of the child's school or any issues or the school. So that, and then I guess more importantly is that there's no evidence in regards to any effect on the child. There was no evidence as to why or how the modification would address the issue with parents and parents was, as I understood the evidence, was that taking the child to school on Mondays. And there was no evidence with regards to Tuesday or Thursday visitation at the court order chamber. So as a result, I was asking is that you overrule the trial court's finding that the age and location of actually change in circumstances. Alternatively, if you find that, I just ask that you adjust the parent plan so it addresses the issues that you raised by the plaintiff, which was the transportation on Monday. The second issue is whether it's evidence.
Also, can I before you go to the next issue, did it suggest in the parenting time, did it give you additional other parenting time
to
make that for
you?
No.
So what it did is reduce the Tuesday visitation from overnight until 8:00 afternoon. The Thursday. I think those are a few changes. The second issue then is whether evidence of interference with visitation occurring prior to the order to be modified was relevant to the offense of a modification. The background of this case is that the parties entered into a settlement agreement previously. This issue was never addressed before the court. When presented at the trial court established kind of a bright line rule that all evidence current prior to the time of decree is irrelevant.
Isn't that derived from the proposition that a material change in circumstances occurs after the entry of the prior decree?
Yes, I think that applies if you're for a modification. But I think if it's an offense, it's a modification. I think there's a couple arguments that we might just keep together and file. One of them would be the reason the product is already charged or court. The other one would be evidence used. That evidence can't be used to support the modification. I think the third one would be you would have appropriate value prohibition for a court. In my opinion, evidence of interference with visitation has probative value, the court or the court shower, the effect on disrupting or disruption of the child. It can show the stability of the parents, and it can show the parent can help the relationship with the child.
How many problems prior to that order?
What if a parent had, say, a molested child or had a suicide tendency, if that party files for modification, you can have a bright line, none of that evidence is relevant, where I think clearly in that situation, in the child that's in house court, the court needs to be aware of those circumstances. So I think there's a big difference if it's been heard in court or if it was a trial or some, then is it used then for a modification or an offense for modification? The authority that it's in my brief. The main cases on that are Fine versus Fine, which is 200 Nebraska 619. And then State X Rel Bostrom versus Huberman, HUGBLMAM, which is 219 Nebraska 2-4. So what I was asking the court does not agree with the first argument and overrule the trial court's findings and remands it, then I just ask that it be remanded with instructions that further hearing on that issue.
Any other questions?
Thank you. The third issue is, as I understand the trial court's ruling, whether the trial court used its discretion in finding that voluntary temporary under agreement amounts to a change of circumstances, or basically what they the plaintiff argues that the day after trial she's going to reduce her hours. The argument for that I have is that the earnings capacity should be used in that situation that is voluntary. The fourth issue was simply, and I'm not sure that for the test, it's not really clear to me, but the evidence presented meets the rebuttal presumption of has on them, whether it meets the joint responsibility test or not, is just the facts for what they are, and that was the fourth issue. The fifth issue is simply there's the definition of parenting plan, referred to a statute that's been repealed. And then the sixth issue is...
Excuse me. Definition of the codified. Yes. Now you're asking for is recodified definition.
Yes.
I think some of the
definitions, I was kind of concerned that some of the new definitions might be different than the old definitions.
What doesn't?
I didn't go through all. I know some of the definitions are different.
The sixth one is just simply if the material
change in circumstances standard is as set by the trial court, the issue of transportation, that I was asking to reconsider whether the evidence presented by you met that standard.
Are you talking about with visitation? Okay. Did you also assign error to the court failure to modify that law?
Yes, that's the sixth.
Okay. I just want to make sure you weren't abandoning that. Thank you.
How long do we get? 36 seconds.
Police Department. My name is James McKinnon. I represent the interest today of James and Nichols, the original plaintiff, original appellee. Clearly, as the appellee, my statement here is simple. I agree with the judge. In this particular case, the standard review is whether or not there was an abuse of discretion done by Judge Schatz. Abuse of discretion is something that basically equates to something so egregious, deprived the litigant of a substantial right, that it would cause this court to be completely unfair and not an interest in justice. Our position here is that did not happen in any way, shape, or form. Additionally, when it comes to the standard of review, Judge Schatz, the district court level, will be given the utmost credibility that he heard all of the witnesses, reviewed the entire file, took everything into consideration, into coming to his ultimate decision. He had that case from the very beginning, from start to finish. And the time of that time, this is addressing not necessarily an order, it's just one box arguments. When it came to the original case itself, the original decree, the parties actually appeared that day for trial, entered into negotiations, and put on the record that all issues had been resolved. Therefore, in addressing the issue as to whether or not the evidence that occurred prior to entry of that decree, that would only be allowable if there was some type of default decree. And this is actually referenced in a case that Mr. Nawak cited in Kimes and Kimes. If it had been a default decree, the court had been not made aware of any of those issues, that would be something that the court would probably want to consider. However, it goes one step further and says in Kimes that the court may consider those prior acts. The court has discretion to do so, and that's exactly what Judge Schatz did. There was argument presented about it. He heard it. He made the ultimate determination that he did not need to admit. Further, there's the case most recently in Spady versus Spady, 284 Nebraska 885, that the exclusion of evidence is not reversible error unless it unfairly prejudiced a substantial right of the complaining party. There's been no substantial right complaint here that's been violated. Now, addressing substantial change in circumstances, i.e. the age and the distance where the parties now live. Whenever modification is filed under the Parenting Act, one thing that the court is allowed to review is parenting time, not just custody. We ask only for a review of parenting time, and that was based on events that occurred after entering under the attorney. Court record shows that there were several contempts. There were issues brought about failure to take the child to preschool on particular Monday mornings and other issues of communication and transportation in the parks. Do I concede the point that my client moved four times from 2012 to 2014? Yes, she did. But it did not affect parenting time per se, but also when it came to their communication, it led to an issue of where is this child going to go to school.
In finding a material change in circumstances, are you in court limited to the child's age and the fact that he's not becoming a party once again,
Yes, correct. As part of the written decree, yes, there was, was stated by Judge Schatz that his specific finding was the child is now older and the child now, the party's now there, right now at downtown Omaha. But also as part of his consideration, whether it should have been written in there or not, I cannot say, was the fact that there has been several contempts filed between the parties, specifically on the issue of getting the child to the Now, there has been cases decided, even as recently as January this year, that talks about where the courts have a bit of discretion when it comes to considering the best interest of a child. Is it foreseeable that a child is going to become school age? Yes, absolutely. Of course, that's what we all pray for our children in that direction. When it comes to something that a court does not consider, or anticipate or parties failing to get along consistently to allow that child to not be subject to conflict in getting that child. I think the most recent case on that was the state on behalf of Maddox, 23 Nebraska appeals, page 500 was decided in January of this year. The court found that it was not an abuse of discretion to change legal custody and parenting time, even though the parties had an ample history of bad communication. There is clearly in this record an issue as to what one party believes is proper communication and another party believes is proper communication. It was actually attempting to be codified as four communications per day. Admittedly, I have less than that with my ex-wife. My ex-wife has been fine, but still, everybody has their own definition. Ultimately, what Judge Schatz determined was the communication, while heated between the two, did not rise to the level of a change in circumstances to change legal custody and the joint legal custody against what the parties had agreed to in 2012. However, he did determine that based on his conflict between the parties, that it was appropriate to add, which has also been supported in the Maddox as well, to add the provision as to who should have the final say to avoid this ongoing conflict between the parties. Now, I believe I've addressed the issue on the evidence that was not admitted. Again, it was completely discretionary. And I also have to point out that the example that was given about one of the parties engaging in sexual misconduct and the other party not knowing that at the time of entry of the decree, well, that clearly is a different set of circumstances. So somebody doesn't know about criminal conduct beforehand, that would obviously arise to that type of conduct being brought in because one party was not aware of. In this case, in 2012, when the both parties were well aware of the issues between the two. So I have to point out an example given. It's not appropriate. When it comes to the employment issue, one thing that was failed to be mentioned was at the time of trial, my client was still on maternity leave. She had just had her second child. She is still living with the father of that child, or saving up to get married, as of this stay. But at that time, the testimony was, I am on maternity leave, and when I go back to work, I do not intend to go back full time because she now has two children to take care of in daycare. I am paraphrasing. That is voluntary. I understand that the law is very clear that on a voluntary reduction, it's something that can be considered for earning capacity. What also needs to be pointed out is that when Judge Schatz requested as part of the pretrial order a suggestion as to the parenting plan and child support calculations, our calculation, if I recall correctly, actually did calculate my client at slightly above minimum wage full time. That is not what she's made. It was considering her earning capacity under that current hourly rate, but taking into consideration that for at least the next 6 months or more, she was going to be staying home as much as possible to take care of those two children. Is that an abuse of discretion? We do not believe so, because we accurately believe that reflects the current circumstances and the foreseeable circumstances for at least the next 6 months. When it comes to
if custody was with the father. And the mother had to sit there and sit in the chair. She just had a baby. She's done well and here they stay. You think that would be the reason why she should not have, her post, share of child support, to raise a child,
Mrs. Brown, this is why these cases are so interesting. It's very, very facts. I said that. To answer your question, Judge, from the gut, no. I don't believe it.
I don't
believe it. Every parent has a duty to support their children for the children. Those are based on current circumstances and future circumstances, and in some cases, past circumstances. In a situation where the rules are reversed, there is an argument under the child support rule that states that an afterborn child is not a reason for an increase in child support or a necessarily reduction in child support or a responsible party. In this case, though, one thing that I cannot have glossed over is the fact that one of the other bases for changing child support was that Mr. Nagalot was previously responsible for a previously born child that he's paying support on that had now reached the age of majority. That was another consideration we asked the court to review and to take into consideration in making a child support calculation. In addressing the final press telegram by Mr. Nagalot, the presumption of 142 days, I do not recall that being requested as part of the original pleadings. I just recall from the original pleadings that stating that there was a material change in circumstances warranting a change of legal and physical custody. I don't believe it's originally pled, therefore I don't think it should be considered. As for the definition section, I can see I'm asking. That's my fault, not updating my particular records. But I do agree with what the court said here, not more than 10 minutes ago, that it actually doesn't make any difference. Understood, Judge. I retract the statement. I do believe that it's the definition section that is referenced in that paragraph and was recalculated under a different section. And if it needs to be amended and pro tempore to reflect that, we are willing to hear that. I do believe the definitions remain the same, whether they're in the 2007 edition that I referenced or the one that is currently in place. And as for argument number six, interference, frustration, and hesitation combined with the other elements that I mentioned did not arise to material change in circumstances. Again, that goes back to Judge Schatz's discretion. He heard all of the witnesses, he assessed all of the evidence. He heard both parties opening and closing arguments and ultimately came to the decision that Mr. Nagalot had not met his burden not to change sole physical and legal custody because it had reached a point where it wasn't a child's best interest, a paramount consideration that given the history of transportation issues, age of the child, that he should have parenting.